Hey, do you like the Star Wars? Well, you have come to the right place because this is the Rancor Pit.
Rancor.
Wow.
With a T, because as some of our new listeners have pointed out, again, we spelled it wrong. No, we did
No,
not
it
spell
was
it
not.
wrong.
No, the Rancor Pit is an architectural element just below Jabba's throne room.
Yes.
Kind of like having one of those like centrally located hearth fire pits. Only instead of fire, you have an actual pit and a deadly monster down inside that kills people.
Yeah.
Or Twi'leks. Or as the Joker would say in the Tim Burton Batman, Twi'leks.
Oh, yes.
Yes,
Yes.
indeed.
That's the Walmart brand of Smilex.
Oh, yes, indeed. It's the off-brand.
Yes. When you
Only
can't afford
Jabba the Hutt knows for sure. Wow.
instead of dying of a cackle, Joker cackle, you die just doing Jabba's ho.
Yeah, you quickly run out of breath by just constantly doing a Huttese laugh.
Yes.
So what makes a Huttese laugh different than any other laugh? Absolutely nothing. Just marketing. That's all it ever was. So, speaking of marketing, we have been marketing the daylights out of the
Oh,
Ranch Core Pit, which is what
yes,
we are.
the rent core pit.
Rent Core Pit.
Yeah, we this is what amazes me, where we've come to in just 3 years. First off, Cole and I would give a big thanks, huge thanks to Morgan and crew at the Arlington Public Library for having us out at their Star Wars Extravaganza a couple of weekends back. And
Star Wars
then this past weekend,
Extravaganza. Yo.
another big thanks to Walter at the Starfish Comic and Gaming Expo, which if you haven't been to one of the Starfish Expos, it's so much fun. It's put on by the students of Focus on the Future, and it's a great group of kids,
Oh,
and
just a
they
tremendous amount of heart, and they put on an amazingly fun and just there's so much going on, and you're like, wow, these guys know what they're doing.
yeah, but they both had us out to their events, both to meet and greet with the fans and to do a panel, and then the other at Arlington, the costume contest. And this is what blows my mind, is the fact that our listeners, I hesitate to call them fans because I don't feel like we are in a place where we should have fans. We're just fans ourselves.
Yeah, we're like the villain, not Bill and Ted, Garth and Wayne. We're not
Yeah,
worthy. We're not worthy.
exactly. I mean, I like to call you people listeners. Like, y'all are compadres with us, and
Absolutely.
definitely.
Listeners and/or viewers, depending if you catch the live
True.
show, if you're not.
That's true. But it boggles my mind that you, the listeners, take such joy in what we do with this podcast that you're reaching out to us to come to your events, and it blows my mind because it just tells us that somebody is listening to us and actually likes what we're doing.
Absolutely. And we would be doing this anyway.
Oh yeah.
Just,
If the yeah. If the if
if
if the
nothing else, our wives would encourage us with
Yes.
it.
It, even if it meant nobody was listening to us except our intern Steven
Yeah.
Fett, then
He's now he didn't realize what came with the job, but he's officially obliged to listen to every episode. He doesn't have to
yeah,
actually,
so now he's got a
take
lad.
anything in, just he has to just listen.
Yeah, so he's got a lot of catching up to do.
That's right. So get cracking. You got about 100 episodes between the two shows.
I don't know, Cole. Between the Star Wars Extravaganza and the Starfish Expo, we easily gave out, I mean,
Oh, good night.
easily 300 or 400 of our trading
We
cards.
were like at the Arlington Public Library event. Morgan was goodly enough to scare up a couple of chairs because when we got there weren't any chairs for us.
This is funny.
And it turned out not to be necessary because we never got a chance to sit down,
Oh,
which was
gosh.
an absolute delight, mind you. I'm not complaining in the least because of all the times I've been without a chair, this was by far the most fun because
Yeah.
we were frantically trying to catch up on co-signing our autographs to our trading cards,
Yeah.
and we would take a bit of a breath, and here would be a whole other new group. And
Oh my gosh,
what was
yeah.
so cute is, like, sometimes some of the kids would come up and be like, it was like Oliver, please sir, may I have another? It's like, oh, please, and trust me, these were meant to be given away.
And what cracks me up is when the parents were just sure that these were just for the kids. It's like, no, these are
Yeah,
for
that's
everybody.
right.
They would
It's
get, the
like,
parents would get so excited that they could get a card too, their own card, not have to share their kid's card.
well, if you were at like the Starfish Expo, you would understand this. They probably felt like me at that Star Wars thing at Redbird Mall for Return of the Jedi, where technically I was still a minor, but from the standpoint of, hey kids, here's some contests for kids. Teenagers were kind of outside the realm of what they were looking for. So
For those who,
we had no restriction on the
yeah, no, on the cards. They were for everyone. For those who don't know what we're talking about, go to episode 3 of this podcast. That's 3 years back, but
Oh
episode
wow, yes
three.
indeed.
And
That would be the
we're
quickest route to find out what we were talking about if you weren't at Starfish Expo.
Yeah, and
And I love that there's a picture that someone had posted, basically flagging or tagging both of us, rather, that was taken at Starfish Expo
yeah.
right at the moment we were simultaneously explaining the 3¾-inch, the origin of the scale of the original Star Wars figures. And I felt compelled to add to the post, we're illustrating how that's the 3.75-inch scale was arrived at. We're
Yeah.
not doing the loser L.
I know, but that was timed perfectly
I
because the
know.
both of us are doing the loser L.
And I, oh great, now we look like a couple of, where do we get off calling anyone a loser?
I know, we're calling it, all of you people who are kind enough to show up to this panel here at this event, we're calling all y'all losers. That's what it looks
Yeah,
like.
we're calling all of y'all 3¾-inch.
Nice.
I doesn't make
Oh,
any
but it
sense, but there you have it.
Yeah, it you know, unfortunately, Cole, you weren't there on Friday, but it was literally as if, because Friday was for the Louisville students to come in and do it. You know, it wasn't open to the public, and there were times like a new bus would arrive from one of the schools and they would let the kids out. And there was one point where it was just like waves of kids coming in, and it was so funny because there was a group of four middle school girls who were. Came up and I saw one who had a Star Wars t-shirt. I was like, "Hey, do you like the Star Wars?" And she was like, "What does that mean, the Star Wars?" Anyway.
What
And
kind of
so,
old creep came up with that?
yeah, right. And so
Guilty.
I would direct them to the sign I had there of the podcast, and then the other three just lit up. Oh, we like Star Wars too. And so I was like, "Oh, y'all want a card?" And of course they got excited. So they each got a little card, and I signed it, and they take off. Next thing I know, I'm seeing them dragging their friends over, and they drag over, these four girls drag over about six more kids. And by the time I got those six kids' cards, I look up, and these kids who had just gotten off this bus had literally formed a line of easily 30 or 40 kids deep. I mean, I was signing these cards so fast, my hand was like starting to cramp by the end. And every time I was like, okay, the 40 are almost done, another eight would show up. And I'd almost get done with them. And then another two. And then another six. I mean, there was a point where I had two huge stacks. And the stacks were probably about 100 cards each. I got to a point where I was down to like a few in each stack. And I had to reach under, dig in the box, and grab another stack out just to keep up with the kids coming up. It was insane.
That
I mean,
is
just
amazing.
insane. And what's so funny is, it wasn't the me telling them, oh, we do this. It's a podcast and this, that, and the other. They would only get excited. This tells you something about this generation, this age group. They would only get excited about the Rancor Pit when they found out we had a YouTube channel. Oh, yo,
Oh, well, in that
YouTube.
case, yeah,
Oh.
you're somebody.
Yeah. And then one kid even asked me, "Oh, you're a YouTube star? Do you know so and so?" And I'm thinking, "Who? What?"
We don't all live in a firehouse like the Ghostbusters.
And then Terry Parr, one of our fellow artists there, many of y'all might know Terry Parr and Halo, their artwork. He asked someone, it's like, who's so-and-so? Oh, he's a YouTuber. He's like a famous YouTuber. I was like, oh, okay. I feel like old now.
No, isn't it sad when young, when even the young people are feeling old?
Right.
Welcome to my world, kids.
It was so funny. This kid was just so sincere. Do you know so-and-so? No. What? But no, it was awesome. It was awesome.
That
but,
is, you know, that's neat. I did not know about the Friday. We didn't get a good chance to really catch up on Saturday. So this is also our first chance as co-hosts to kind of sit and talk a bit about that weekend, the last couple of weekends. It's just been a whirlwind of Star Wars for us.
Yeah. But definitely check out Starfish Comic Expo for next year's event, and Arlington Public Library, the Star Wars Extravaganza. Morgan also does ArlingCon. So if you've heard of ArlingCon, it's because of this group.
And in fact, if I'm not mistaken, ArlingCon has already announced their 2017 date.
Yeah, yeah.
So they have. You go to Convention Awareness Project at cap-tx.info, you can. Get the dates on ArlingCon already, which will be early part of next year.
Yeah. Another funny side.
We'll be back for that as well.
Yeah, we definitely would.
We hope.
Another funny side story before we get into our topic tonight is I realized I showed up to this event. I usually have a stack of convention awareness on me somewhere in my stuff where I scaled back taking my stuff because I had less room to pack stuff in, and I realized I didn't have any convention awareness postcards when I had someone come up asking me, do you know where a good place is to find out about all the conventions in Texas?
Oh, wow.
Because we just moved to Texas from Ohio.
And they weren't just like rubbing it in.
No. And I thought, oh, crap. I said, you know what? See this guy on this trading card. He runs this website, and dummy me, it's like, I forget, we live in a day where if you don't have the postcard handy, the person was already popping it up on his smartphone.
Oh,
so it was like,
yeah, I know, I don't think about that either. It's like, oh yeah, well duh.
I was so mad that I didn't have a postcard to give him, but then he's like, oh, no worries. He pulls out a smartphone, pops it, you know, pulls it up, gets the info, bookmarks it on his phone, and he was good to go.
Yeah, and ironically, I didn't think to bring any of them with me either. So there you have it.
It's crazy. I think we're so scarred from the fact that we had them sitting in that Yoda candy at the Star Wars Extravaganza. So many kids walked away disappointed looking in there for candy and just seeing the postcards.
What a couple of cheapskates. I should have grabbed some dollar store candy on the way out for that. But then I didn't want to be like the one who got in trouble for giving the kids candy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And they had enough already.
Exactly. But anyway,
so that was like a few days after Halloween, so it probably would have raised some ire there. So anyway, yes, we are here for the Rancor Pit number 57, or in USG vernacular, 57. 57 episodes in, 3 years later. It's amazing. And for some reason, it never occurred to us before now to talk about one of the core subjects tonight is none other than former Lucasfilm fan liaison Steve Sansweet.
Yes.
Author,
welcome to the
Star Wars Uber fan.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So welcome to the show, Steven.
Welcome. We're talking about him.
Yeah, we don't have that budget, sorry.
Yeah, sorry. We would love to have Steve Sansweet on the show, mind you.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're listening, Steve, it's 2 hours earlier where you are on the West Coast, so I'm just saying, you know, we're not going to, like, keep you up all night.
Yeah, yeah. Just hit the Del Taco and then head home, and then you can jump on Skype. And
the Del Taco.
But yes.
Did Del Taco have any Star Wars content? Of course not. He would go to Taco Bell.
Of course. That's right.
I mean, granted, Del Taco.
Hope that there's some leftover Episode 1 medallions still.
Yeah, if you've got anything
laying
around, you know, that you haven't used yet, can I use my movie theater Rogue One cup to refill.
Yeah. Do you have any of those
Just
leftover Episode One churro bags with C-3PO printed on them or anything?
wow, churro
But yes, Ziyu Sansui is like the grand poobah of Star Wars collectors.
and a fascinating individual in his own
Oh
right. He
yeah.
was actually a professional journalist who worked for many years, ultimately for the Wall Street Journal, and was sort of moved to various bureaus around the country. Wound up in California, and then I guess finally decided, you know what's more fun than news? Star Wars, which was already a passion of his, in my mind. It wasn't just sort of like, you know, what other racket is there out there? As a friend of the show, Michael Price would say, who was also in the reporting racket, as he called
Yeah.
it, for many years. But
Well,
the
it's interesting with his, 'cause I knew he made the move from being a journalist to Lucasfilm, but what I didn't know until I started watching more interviews of him, it wasn't it kind of came at the best time possible, because where he was working was kind of like working him out. He said, it's like he got to that point where I guess his age, or they were age being ageists, and he was actually
there's a
being,
lot of that in journalism because you can always get some young buck to come in on the cheap.
And so he said he was just exiting out of that job with, and he got a call from contact at Lucasfilm saying, "Hey, do you have anyone in mind? This is what we need. We need them to go. It's guaranteed it's going to be a position for one whole year, and we need them to interact with the fans on Lucasfilm's behalf at these conventions and this, that, and the other. The special editions are about to hit, and we need this person to kind of go around and just kind of sell special edition to at these events." And he goes, "Yeah, I know somebody, me." And he said it was like the pay was like a drastic, I could be getting this wrong, but I think it was like he was it was like 30% of what he was making before. It was something ridiculously low, but because it was Star Wars, he felt he had to do it. He had to take this opportunity, and thank goodness he did, because that year blossomed into 15 years and put him at the peak of the collector's minds as far as the go-to
Absolutely.
man when it comes to collecting.
Yeah, his name became synonymous with Star Wars and Lucasfilm as a result of that, and then he became sort of like the face of the collector and the fan, because he was also a very renowned and well-known collector in his own right. And you know, he taking on that position after he'd already written a book way back in 1980. He had written a book, Science Fiction Toys and Models. So, you know, even that far back, he was already illustrating a passion for this that certainly served him well as Lucasfilm's official liaison when that job comes into view. And then he winds up, you know, that was in 1996. So this was following not only his 1980 toy and model book, but he'd also in 1992 published a book which is insanely popular to this day because it's so well done, Star Wars from concept to screen to collectible. And it gave you that wonderful file path from, you know, how did we get to the point where Star Wars collectibles were even a thing. And then after that, you know, he follows with many more Star Wars books, but the body of his authorship is mostly Star Wars,
It's
which,
like 16 out of 18 of
as
his
Newt
books
would
are on
say,
Star
it's mostly Star Wars, mostly.
Yeah. Yeah, his Tomarts price guide is one I reference often for this show when I research things. I love that book. And just in terms of having to, okay, we're going to do an episode with Warren on the food collectibles. Okay, let me get out that Steve Sansweet book and turn to the food section, and get reacquainted with the Dixie cups and the bags of chips and everything else. So yeah, It's fairly extensive. I mean, it's right up there, right neck and neck, with Geoffrey Carlton's books. You know, because
Absolutely, with the Star Wars
it.
Super Collector's Wish books, and also one of the most amazing books he published was the Star Wars Scrapbook,
Oh yes.
which was so cool because not only did it talk about stuff, they actually went to the. It's a multimedia experience, really. It costs some ungodly amount of money, but it's worth it. My edition is actually a the cover price is in pounds. I actually have a foreign edition,
Oh yeah.
but what was neat about it is there are reproductions of old Star Wars iron-ons, and I think there's even a reproduction of one of those vinyl albums, you know, that would be like pressed onto a thin sheet of vinyl, like you
Yes, like
sometimes
a
get an album in a Mad magazine or something.
Yes.
And there's all kinds of things where it's like it's not the real thing, but it's as close to the real thing. And there were reproductions of actual iron-ons from a book of iron-ons that I had as a kid. I had the Jawa iron-on on the ironed onto the back of my pajamas as
Oh
a
my
child because
gosh.
that was I loved that particular iron-on with these two Jawas.
I know the exact iron-on you're speaking of because it would
You
always
might
pop
even know
up.
the exact yellow pajamas I had.
I know because I would love to obsess over those iron-on ads that they would put in the comic
Oh,
books. It
yes.
was always like Star Wars and Welcome Back, Kata, or something.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. You would have like the Shazam lightning bolt, Luke and 3PO pointing, the sweat hogs,
And then keep
and
on trucking.
Robert Crumb, keep on trucking, Farrah
Keep on trucking.
Fawcett.
Farrah Fawcett, yeah. My gosh. How can you not have Farrah Fawcett in those ads? She was in every one of those.
I think people should just insert a Farrah Fawcett image in ads today. Just be what?
If it wasn't Farrah Fawcett, it was Raquel Welch from
Oh
the
yes,
prehistoric movie.
yes, 1 million years BC,
There you go.
or sometimes Cheryl Teagues was trying to edge in on that whole thing for a while there.
Right. I vaguely remember, I could be wrong, and maybe this is just, a dream I had I shouldn't be talking about, but I vaguely remember one iron-on being like a shirtless Bobby Ewing. But maybe I'm wrong about that.
You know, the thing about it is, I think you're right because Dallas stuff was huge, and a shirtless Bobby Ewing was just sort of like the man from Atlantis with chest hair.
Right. You would reference Man from Atlantis.
Naturally,
Nice.
I had to play my old people card.
Right, Cole would be the only one to open up that comic book, go to that ad and say, "Oh, look, it's a Man from Atlantis iron on." No, it's Bobby Ewing.
Why is he wearing that the cowboy hat? I don't remember that. Was that when he fought the Victor Bono as the evil professor?
My gosh.
No, apparently he didn't wear a cowboy hat because he'd be like, "What's that cowboy hat doing floating here in the middle of the ocean?" The man from Atlantis with a cowboy hat.
And he's riding a seahorse. Ah, yeah. His noble
That was a
steed.
dream you had.
Oh, that's the
That
dream.
one was. The t-shirt was dead on. So, needless to say, we are using Steve Sansweet as in his career and collection as also kind of a springboard to talk about collecting and collectors in general. Not that we don't do that already quite often, but it seems like Steve Sansweet is sort of like the godfather of all of us collectors.
Oh,
Certainly the
yeah.
most famous of the collectors by virtue of his stint with Lucasfilm and his decision. Apparently, his own collection was getting colossal, and he was wanting to move his residence closer to his job in Marin County and bought basically a chicken farm.
Yeah, it was an old chicken farm.
Yeah, and converted a probably after much cleansing, And perhaps removal of some of the chickens as well, depending if there were any, stray chickens who refused to leave. And, like, while they were refurbishing the chicken coops, the chicken building,
Well, oddly enough,
maybe
they
they
were
had
able
a
to.
chicken dinner that night.
Oddly enough, when they were cleaning up the place, they swept up and gathered up a bunch of the chicken feathers that were, just hanging about. They were able to actually make a feathered wampa statue, as
Oh,
opposed
well, that's
to a fur. Yeah, it was
sort of like when
they.
people, Star Wars fans in the winter in like areas that aren't Texas where they have winter, will sometimes make a snow wampa. Since they were in California, they just had to ball up a bunch of chicken feathers.
They had to use the chicken feathers. I mean, Star Wars collectors use every bit of the chicken.
Absolutely, they do. Do the chickens have sharp talons?
Of
Okay.
course.
You got to throw that one in somewhere. But yeah, they basically converted this gigantic chicken barn into a home for his massive collection that he dubbed Rancho Obi-Wan.
I love that name.
Oh, me
That's
too.
so that's so clever.
And what's really cool about Rancho Obi-Wan is it then became a sort of a side business for the man. He opened it as an actual NPO and a museum, and he's sort of the president and CEO of the of Rancho Obi-Wan, but also I imagine just at least some degree a curator as well.
Well, it's interesting because he left Lucasfilm. He retired from Lucasfilm in 2011. I mean, he still consults with them as on the side, but he properly retired from Lucasfilm in 2011, and he was saying, "Well, what do I do? Do I want to just retire and, travel and go lay
Do
on
I
a
want to be like
beach?"
a consultant to Lucasfilm and every couple of years they call up and I have to remind them no. No Jar Jar. No Jar Jar. Okay, bye. Just send the check.
But that's when, in 2011, that's when he put Rancho Obi-Wan into high gear, at least his collection. I think that's when he actually officially became Rancho Obi-Wan, was in 2011.
I believe
So
that is
it's only
what.
been around for 5 years. In my mind, I thought I've been hearing about Rancho Obi-Wan forever. But what I'm thinking is I've been hearing about Steve Sansweet's collection
Yeah, I
forever.
think it's the Legend of Sansweet that precedes him, and then Rancho Obi-Wan hoves on the. And what's really cool is, in addition to having this amazing kind of museum where you can go and actually, buy a ticket and tour Rancho Obi-Wan and see things you'd probably never see, as well as a lot of stuff that might be in your own collection, is that they take the show on the road. I know Catherine and I did the walkthrough of the little mini the mini Rancho Obi-Wan at Celebration 6 in Orlando several years ago. And basically they come in and create this little walkthrough that's about five or six booths wide, and they cram it full of artifacts, paintings, original art, fan art, stuff that licensed stuff, fan-made items, things that people have given him. At this particular incarnation of the walkthrough, parked right in the front was the R2-D2 done up as the Family Guy R2-D2. Someone had fashioned a giant afro and big chains and everything on it to make it look like the R2-D2 from the Family Guy.
That's funny.
So about the only thing it wasn't doing was holding a bag of weed.
I know, and another new addition that they've started doing, because that was such a success touring it with Celebration, was they've now put together a separate traveling show, and it travels around to some of the adult entertainment expos. But that one's called Raunchy Obi-Wan.
I love Raunchy Obi-Wan.
Everyone loves
Because,
Raunchy Obi-Wan.
for one thing, Raunchy Obi-Wan has the largest collection of naughty lightsaber variants. We'll just leave it at that.
Are we sure we want to
Well,
leave it at
there
that? We
actually,
don't
though,
want
in all fairness, I think, it's obviously this was fan made, probably probably something someone sent Steve Sansweet as a gift. And it was one of those things where you can't fault the man for hanging on to it and putting it in the display. But there was actually a kind of a cloth stuffed pillow type of thing where it was the Sarlacc pit sort of rendered less in a round shape and more in a kind of anatomical shape, if you will. And so
I
it's
get
sort
you.
of
I
like,
get you.
hentai Star Wars
Right. And
Sarlacc.
it's supposed to be that, or it just looks that way? Like it can't.
I don't think it was an accident. Like maybe they pulled the thread too tight and it lost its
It,
shape.
right.
I
It
think.
pulled the thread too tight.
Yeah, I mean, it started out kind of round and it kind of got a little more deflated donut shaped. No, I think that this one was rather deliberate, but it's also hilarious because I have seen, like in Jeffrey Carlton's collection, one of the things that just immediately caught my eye was an unlicensed bong.
And
It's
I
a
still want
Darth
one of
Vader
those.
bong from Germany, if I remember correctly. Ironically, it wasn't from some place like Netherlands, where it was legal to be toking it up with the dark side.
Wow. Token it up with the dark side.
Well, that's really what the whole breathing apparatus for Vader is.
Oh, it,
The chest
really?
plate, you put your weed in there.
Oh my gosh, Cole, I just found a place online that sells Star Wars bongs. I'm totally buying these. Oh wait, these are pipe. These are smoking pipes. These are like for tobacco.
Oh, well,
That's not as exciting.
I guess Lucasfilm could get behind that.
Oh, these are unlicensed for sure.
Oh, okay. But
Well,
they
I'm not.
would.
I'm.
They probably would get behind that.
I don't know. Maybe you can use these as bongs. I don't know how that operates, not being a connoisseur of
Oh, yeah,
the
I'm
weed
not from
myself,
Colorado,
but
so.
maybe it goes both ways.
Well, what amazes me is no one's ever tried to do a licensed Cantina Band set of vapes.
Oh, right.
Because I've
That's
seen some of
true.
these vape cigarette things. The first one I ever saw, a guy at a convention had one, and I'd never seen one before. I was like, what's this jerk doing smoking a cigarette? What, that's weird. It doesn't smell anything. What kind of strange Frankenscience is this?
Frankenscience.
I stole that from the Tick, but some of these things look like some
You're
sort of
such a
weird.
Shia LaBeouf.
That's right. Some of them look like Ray's pistol from Episode 7. I mean, I'm like, what is this thing there? And I'm like, why not just configure it to look like the Cantina Band instruments? You're already halfway there.
Exactly.
So if that
But
does happen, I can guarantee it'll be in Steve Sansweet's collection at Rancho Obi-Wan.
or ranchy, a
No,
raunchy
we'll be at
Obi-Wan.
Raunchy Obi-Wan.
Raunchy Obi-Wan.
Watch out for that one.
Yeah,
Not for the kids.
it's cool because another thing that he does through Rancho Obi-Wan, not raunchy Obi-Wan, is he reaches out to the kids. And this is part of the thing that I think is cool. It's a non-profit what they've set up, and what the money that you take in, he's very specific to say that it covers like utilities, the upkeep, to staff it, and everything else. He goes, but the money they take in, none of it, absolutely none of it, goes to add items to the collection. The collection that you see on display is all his, and I think that's cool. And another thing that they do is like reaching out to the community and to other things. They go out and they do lectures at places, at Comic Cons and schools and everything. They bring in school kids. I was watching one video and I was telling Cole before the show it was really, as a collector, was really freaking me out. And as a teacher, former teacher, was freaking me out because I know how kids are. They had this group of kids in the YouTube video. They were doing the tour, and there's and this is awesome too. Steve Sansweet does all the tours himself, which I think is cool. He's there and he's talking to the kids, and there's like maybe a couple of staff members around. But these kids are literally right there at the shelves, open shelves, not behind glass, but open shelves. And right there is a vinyl cape Jawa on mint on card, and the kids are just like right there. I'm thinking, if that kid could sneeze on it, he could trip and fall on it, and like,
Yeah.
is insane.
Well, one of the things I really love about, Rancho Obi-Wan is set up as this museum.
Yeah.
And if you ever look for pictures of Rancho Obi-Wan, we'll share some as well
Yeah.
on the posting on the JCU. But what I love is the fact that you don't have like museum, it's not like the Metropolitan or something where you have like
Yeah.
the some bachelor or doctorate of museum sciences come in and they have these like custom built glass cases and things
Yeah,
behind
it's not.
which the artifacts of antiquity might be found. These things belong in a museum, but they're like right there on the kind of shelves you'd buy at Lowe's or Home Depot.
Exactly. Those gray metal shelves that you screw together that you put in your workshop in the garage.
Yeah, and they're just and stuff is often, if you look at pictures, stuff's often just sort of stacked together, like, we'll mess with these later. I'll just put this pile of assorted figures right here for now.
And that's what's lovely about the place. It's not, yeah, like you were saying, you would expect some of these things to be in a type of case that you see like on these art heist movies. Like you're expecting like
Exactly.
Thomas Crown to like come in and
You
like have
want
to do all these intricate things
the
to
Pink
break into
Panther
it or something.
diamond under its little
Right, there you go.
crystal
Yeah.
cloche
Yeah.
there. But instead they're
Yeah.
just sort of like, oh, here's some Disney
It it
Episode 7 figures, and here's one of those old give a show those little crank run film cassette things from the 70s.
I know, it's almost as if you're walking through like a garage sale or something. It's
Yeah,
just
exactly.
everything's just laid out.
And it's so wonderful because you can look at pictures and see things that are, were not commercially available. These were things that were produced for crews or for events or things like that,
Oh,
mingled
yeah.
with some very rare
Yeah.
commercially available stuff, with some international stuff, with just a pile of old magazines that featured Star Wars things.
Along those same lines, which you're saying, like a bunch of unique items in his collection, and also this also says like not everything is just out to where you could sneeze on it or anything. Some stuff is actually put away and very carefully preserved. One thing item in particular that I was very impressed when he said he has in his collection, he has, and I know Cole, you're going to immediately know what I'm talking about. He has the 8-foot cloth banner that they used in 1976 at San Diego Comic-Con at their table to promote the Star Wars. You
Wow.
know, and you've probably seen this in old archive photos. There's one, it wasn't at San Diego, but the next show it traveled to, they actually have Mark Hamill at the table meeting and greeting fans, telling people, "Hey, I play this character called Luke Skywalker,
Oh,
and
yes.
I'm in a movie called Star Wars, and it's coming out next year." And they were selling one sheets of the movie poster for $1.75, and like Steve Sansweet said, you can't touch those things without spending a few $1,000s to get one now. But back then, $1.75. But what's unique about this 8-foot canvas banner, and it had the wooden rod going on the top and a wooden rod at the bottom to weigh it down. He said he had Ralph McQuarrie over to Rancho Obi-Wan to visit and meet with and view the collection, and he walked Ralph McQuarrie walked up to this 8-foot canvas banner, and if you see it, it's in the middle is a it's that triangular design with
Oh,
the
yes.
Luke character, and mostly in the shadows.
The
It's
Star
very
Wars, as a matter of fact.
'70 disco-ish almost, and the word Star Wars on either side is completely different font. And he walks up to it and he goes, "Oh, I remember painting that." And Sansweet's like, You painted this?" And the banner, the image is not printed, screen printed on like you would think.
Oh my goodness, that was the
It
original art.
yes, he actually he, Ralph McQuarrie actually hand painted it onto the 8-foot canvas banner, and then they had another artist come in and do the font, the
The
logo.
actual lettering. Wow.
Yeah, lettering. So that was like an original Ralph McQuarrie that was literally just there for people to touch at these conventions back in the day. Of course, they could have also touched Mark Hamill without, no problem too, back in the day. But I just
Yeah,
thought
you could
that was
actually get
just
close enough to
amazing.
touch him.
I just thought that was amazing that actually exists.
That is really remarkable, because you wouldn't think of that being
No, you would just
the
think it was
origin
straight
of
from
that
the wall.
art, you know.
Yeah, and again, I've seen that image of Mark Hamill standing behind the table, shaking hands with people, and I just assumed that was screen printed on there. No, that's an original painting
Good
on that
night.
banner. It just, and of course, as we said, it would, they have it carefully preserved because it would crumble
Oh
otherwise.
yeah, absolutely.
But I just thought that's
Yeah,
amazing.
that is surreal. Well, what I love in just like kind of reading some articles about Rancho Obi-Wan is just the width and breadth of the collection. As a collector, my co-host on Hey Kids Comics, Andrew Farmer, refers to my collection as Herculean. I've had a lot of people. One of the things that I love as a collector is having inspired other collectors to bring much more of their own collection to the forefront. So many of us who love to just display everything, and it's getting to be a bit of a challenge now because there's so damn much stuff. But I've had even very young kids who change their approach to their toys from, throwing them in toy boxes to getting mom and dad to put up some shelves so they could properly
Oh,
display them.
nice.
Yeah, that was just such a wonderful to have parents come and say, "Yeah, my boy said, can I get some shelves? Because I want to put my stuff out on display. I don't want to just put it away. I want it to be enjoyed." And but I'm kind of discerning in what I buy or what I want, and every now and again, like, I'll get one thing to represent a certain genre of something. Like, I don't want to have every pencil ever made, but I've got like the two different styles of pencil that came from the fan club. And recently I found a pencil with a BB-8 topper on it. Like, okay, I'm just a sucker for BB-8 like every damn body else.
But you don't have the pencils that they were giving away at the Redbird Mall events because you were too old. You were too old to enter in the
Yep, I don't have that.
contest. Refer back to episode 3 of this
Yes, indeed.
podcast.
But what's neat is like Sansweet's collection has all kinds of stuff that even as a hardcore fan, at even the price of free, would not be necessarily interesting to me. But I love the fact that it is very much of interest to him. One of the things that I thought was particularly funny that was cited was a cast. An actual leg cast from a stuntman who was injured on the
What?
on a Star Wars shoot, and I'm betting he was probably among those that Dickie Beer talked about who were injured during the Sarlacc scene,
That's
because
right, he
apparently they
did
were
talk
just
about
dropping
that.
like flies. But
Yeah,
yeah, it's
that's right.
signed with quips like "plastered again" and "break a leg."
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
But
That
it's
is
one of those
too
things
cool.
where, in and of itself, you'd never know that it was Star Wars related. But in Sansweet's collection, that's allowed to shine.
And that's what I love about what I've seen of his collection. Here I am like a big nerd. I'll see like people doing video tours of the place, and I'm like pausing it every few seconds just so I can get a look at what's behind the people talking, because I'm that obsessed with Star Wars
Exactly.
collectibles. And what I think was awesome is there's one glass case, and you're looking in, there's like, it looks to be like a wooden Millennium Falcon and all these cool little items and like maybe an imported Darth Vader. And right there in the middle, amongst all these Star Wars things, is a model of the Winnebago from Spaceballs. And I thought, oh, isn't that cool that he's throwing in Spaceballs amongst all his Star Wars collectibles?
That's
That is
great.
too awesome.
Well, I also love you were talking about how Sansweet himself will conduct tours.
Yes.
And you know, he's not like a, well, you know, the fact that they made this an NPO certainly illustrates that he wasn't just trying to go and make a fortune off of his collection by showing it off.
Yeah,
It's not like, oh, I got the world's largest collection, now you get to pay to see it. You know, it's he's in there showing precisely how much this means to him.
Exactly.
And I love one of the images I saw was him, you know, talking to a group of fans, and he's got the what is it, the space slug oven mitt, and he's kind of pointing at the inside of the mouth, and I'm you can't really tell that angle, but I'm betting that inside the mouth the graphic shows a little bitty Millennium Falcon in there, and I'm betting he's really proud.
Oh.
Like, look how cool this is. It's not just a space slug. There's, because you see him interviewed, or you read about him, or if you get a chance to actually see and meet him in person, he's
Yeah.
just one of the happiest Star Wars
Oh,
fans out there.
yes.
He's just, you can tell he is just silly for this stuff. When Catherine and I went to Celebration 6 a few years ago, we crossed paths with him. Since we were there with the Star Wars Super Collectors Wish Book crew, we got to go into the Star Wars Celebration store the night before for like the, you know, the super pass holders and the exhibitors and everybody. And I got to talk for a while with C. Sansweet's wife while he was just like a kid in a candy store, just zipping around the shelves and coming and putting more and more things on their table. Like future bits of the collection. But it was just kind of neat to see someone of his celebrity, as it were, within the Star Wars community, just out there having fun with the rest of us and just giddy for all the just cool, clever collectibles that I'm sure he was just as thrilled with some of the silly, clever ideas like the Gamorrean Guard piggy bank and the Tauntaun hobby horse and that classic TWA flight bag style thing that used a Death Star and a Star Destroyer.
Well, and that's what's cool about the guy is it surprised me in one of the interviews I saw of him one time. He laughed because he said, "You know, I think people think that some of these companies, these licensed companies, will send me like one of everything." He said they don't. He goes, "I have to go out on the hunt like everybody else." He said, "I'll hit up my Walmart and I'll get in there and I'll get disappointed because something's sold out. I'll go up the street to Target, see if I can find it there." He's actually out and about gathering things on his own. He is a true collector. He's not "Bring me your items and I will add them to my collection"
Yeah,
type
and
of
it's not
thing.
like somebody who has like, oh, it's Christmas time, I'd best hire a shopper of the family, don't you know? You know, it's not like he's got some team of people going out and doing the shopping for him. And I think that's what's wonderful about that too, is he's never lost the love of the hunt.
Oh no. No, you could tell he still loves it.
I mean, I love when somebody brings me stuff, but I also love when I find it myself, especially those things that I
Isn't
didn't expect to find.
that true? It's almost like you appreciate when you open up something for your birthday or for Christmas, you're like, "Oh, wow, I did need this."
Yeah,
But
you
it's a
turn
whole
into
nother.
like Michael Keaton from Night Shift. I was going to get one of these, but this is better because it's free.
Wow. I love that line. I love it. But you know, it's a whole nother different feeling, just as exciting to actually be out and then, "Oh my gosh, there's that Black Series Jango Fett. I didn't think I'd come across it, and there it is," you
I know.
know.
I found like the Black Series IG-88 at a Walgreens long
Yeah.
after they were. I never saw them in anywhere except at conventions for an outrageous price, and boom, there it was. I did the Iggy.
It's funny. But you know, that's what I think is cool about him, that he's not just it's not a braggy thing. And if you see him at a convention talking or in an interview, he's an engaging guy. His personality is not like over the top when he's talking about things. It's not like,
Look
you
at
know, one of these
me.
guys where he's not like, well, not even in that respect. It's like he's not larger than life,
Yeah.
but he comes across just being a normal dude who, when you're listening to his stories, they're very engaging. Like, I found myself just sitting there listening to his stories, like, this dude is interesting. I mean, he knows how to tell a tale. You know, and that's why I think, and it's no reason why he went far with Lucasfilm. They hired him to, you know, kind of meet and greet with the fans during the special edition era, and then it grew to a 15-year thing because he's got that type of personality where, hey, I'm just one of you guys. Exactly. You know, let's spend some time and talk about why we love collecting what we love.
And I think that's also why Rancho Obi-Wan is such a success as well, because he is that kind of – he is a collector and a fan. He's not just someone who's gone out and spent a lot of money to amass a giant collection to then showcase,
mm-hmm.
like his own little private
Idaho? Not, I don't know. What are you trying to say?
Like, you know, that the showpiece is more important than
what's in it.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, it speaks volumes about the man himself.
Yeah, sure.
And this, we're going to get to the point, we're getting close to the end here, and we're probably going to run a little long, but as we do on Hey Kids Comics, who cares? one of the other things, this sort of morphed out of a playful little jab at Eddie for, I believe it was last year's Rancor Pit.
Last year, maybe the year before, I can't remember.
I'm not sure the chronology, but we thought, you know, we need to do an episode of the Rancor Pit Live and talk about, you know, collectibles, the wish list for the Star Wars fan in your life.
Yeah, yeah.
Things you're, you know, and so we both amassed an X number of different things that we were going to talk about.
Yeah.
Got some images and everything, and got everything all going there, and I found some neat things like the Death Star toaster, not toaster, the Death Star waffle iron from Think Geek, and some other things that, you know, ranged anywhere from less than $10 gifts to, you know, $50, $60, maybe $100.
And yeah, Eddie, yeah. No, I went all out. I found the guy who had built a life-size AT-ST in England, and you could purchase it for like $79,000 and then pay to have it shipped over to the States. And the area
that was on everybody's wish list right here.
The area rug that was a Death Star that was hand-sewn, and it carried a price tag of like $6,000. You know, that was what I brought to the show.
And I just, like, so, you know, where are you getting off spending everybody's money like this?
Right. It's like suddenly I'm like best friends with Bill Gates and he's going to buy me this for Christmas or something.
Yeah, really. Just, you know, you just get this impression. It's like, oh, $65,000. I'll use more than that running for the bus.
Right. So in true fashion of that episode of Rancor Pit Live, we're going to give a few more high-end Star Wars.
Yeah, we're talk about some things that people have spent their money on. And
look this up yourself as we talk about them.
Yeah, and one of the things when we were getting ready for the show that I was curious about, I've always wondered, and we're going to have to see if we can do a little digging one of these days and maybe talk about it on a future show. I've always wondered whatever became of the AT-AT that was the fan club subscription prize. At some point,
I don't know what you're talking about.
During the, I think it was before the Star Wars fan club became the Lucasfilm fan club.
Mm-hmm.
They had a contest to see who could get the most new subscribers for the fan club.
Yeah.
And then they published the winner in Bantha Tracks. The winner actually won a genuine bona fide AT-AT animation model.
What?
And it got better because they packaged it. Lucasfilm put it in a museum quality case with a little bitty snowspeeder.
You're kidding.
And this guy that worked at a comic shop somewhere won the thing because he got the most people to sign up. And I
Wow.
have always wondered what became of that. And we'll have to talk about like whatever happened to episode perhaps sometime. And see
Oh,
if
we
we can
should. Where are
get
they? Where are they now? Talk about
yeah, if
the.
we can get Jeffrey Carlton on the show sometime perhaps. Because he was telling me one time when we were he was working on one of the Super Collector's Wish Book about the Taco Bell Humvee.
I
Was like
remember
a
that giveaway.
yeah, and the fate of that vehicle. That ultimately it no longer exists as a tricked out Star Wars Humvee. And I don't want to say any more than that because I'll just be doing it from memory and
Oh, okay.
it'll be faulty memory at that. But one of the things when I was poking around looking for, you know, there's obviously the vinyl cape Jawas that go in the tens of thousands of dollars. But one thing I found was apparently, gosh, in 2012, there was an auction house that sold for $172,200
Oh, good night. That beats anything I brought tonight.
the a Chewbacca film ready head. It was one of the actual on-screen masks of Peter Mayhew
Wow.
as Chewbacca.
Good
Yeah,
night.
hair and all, perhaps some, you know, residual Mayhew sweat inside. 'Cause it's got to have been just brutally humid inside there.
Oh yeah, you know it probably was. Good night. And how much did it sell for? 172,000?
172,200.
Ooh, goodness. Wow. Yeah, that's that trumps anything I brought tonight. Goodness. So, is it my turn? Should I
Go
go real
right
quick?
ahead, because
Okay, I'll start out with something that's a little bit more near and dear to our show, and that's a Rancor collectible. I found this company, Royal Selangor, I don't know how you say it. They make these pewter Star Wars pewter figurines, and there's a diorama of
what's a
Luke,
diorama?
right, Luke battling the Rancor, and it is 19 centimeters by 27 centimeters by 22 centimeters, so you can do the math on inches. Not very big, obviously. That what is that, like 4 by 5 by 6 or something like that? Something in that vicinity, maybe. I'm bad about the
Something around
conversion.
that, yeah.
Yeah, so
We're not going to do
it's
your mathematics for you on this show.
no, especially not me. I'm bad at math, but it's a tiny little thing. You know, it's a little. It would be more like a stocking stuffer than under the tree.
Math is hard.
So it carries the price of $1,245. Yeah.
Who sculpted it? Michael Michelangelo?
Well, okay. I'm glad you said that. It's not Michael Michelangelo, but the sculpt is. And for that price tag, the Rancor sculpt is really cool. But I'm looking at the Luke, and maybe it's just the artist in me. They scaled Luke way too big for that Rancor. Way too big. And so I'm thinking, is that Kareem Abdul Skywalker? I mean, who is that?
It's Wilt the Stilt.
Right. And I'm thinking, or it's like a Rancor baby if it's Luke Skywalker standing next to him.
Oh,
It just
yeah.
the scale looks just a tad bit off. And I thought,
It's
well,
probably
surely.
based on an original script where Luke would face down the Rancor and defeat it, and then a bigger Rancor would come out. You'd be like,
Oh, okay.
seriously?
This is the deleted scene where he
Yeah,
fought the
because they
smallest
cited
one.
that made him too whiny. They really needed to wait for episode one for
Yeah, and then
a Skywalker of that whininess.
and also in the deleted scene would have been the spirit of Qui-Gon would have popped up at that point and said, "There's always a bigger Rancor."
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I went there.
Yes, indeed.
So that same company, I thought, well, what else? They make all sorts of characters, and they're all tiny. They're literally like the scale, if not smaller, than 3 3/4 inch figures. And like, for instance, the R2, I thought, well, R2 won't be very expensive because he's tiny. You know, $300, not 9 centimeters tall, $300. Yeah, it's crazy. And everything they make carries a price tag of $300, $350. Yoda was the cheapest thing I found on in their inventory, and it was like 100 and something. So yeah, it was insanity.
Yeah, and Yoda, you're already expecting to be, tiny to begin with.
Right. But anyway, okay, so what's your next thing? That
Wow,
high-end
oddly
stuff?
enough, that's strangely harder to top than, well, one of the, for the really, and I, we, if you want to, if you really have the money to spend on this and you want to know where to get it, we can tell you exactly where to find one in here in Texas. I believe, I suspect they still have this available. Is the Vlix figure from the Droid series, because apparently Vlix ain't for kids, because even Steve Sandwich, Santa Sweet himself, has said a good condition Vlix could fetch $15,000.
Wow.
Vlix was the a character from the Droid series, the action figure line kind of tanked here in the U.S., but Kenner continued to produce some characters in South America, of all places, and in Europe, because the show was still trending pretty well there, I guess. And so some Vlix figures were actually commercially produced, but never released in the States. And there's actually a shop that at one time had two or three of the handful of known specimens that were in.
Is that the guy that's like the space Don Corleone?
Yeah, I think he is. He's got a he's kind of like looks like Edwin G. Robinson
Yeah, there you
if
go.
he was a frog and wore a lacy silk cravat like Austin Powers.
I know which character you're talking
And
about.
dressed
I didn't.
like has sort of like a Bespin-esque attire going on.
Yeah, I remember that figure because I remember thinking it fit less in the Star Wars universe and more in along the lines of the what is it, the Cowboys of Mu Mesa? Who what was that?
Oh, yes, indeed. The
Was that, did I get
yeah, it
that
was like
right?
the cow was spelled with periods. You were doing it's like it was cow was an anagram for something.
Oh yeah, that's right. So it was a Cowboys of Mu Mesa. That's Well, anyway, some flicks, huh?
Licks.
Well, my next one is also carries a hefty price tag, and it is available at your friendly neighborhood Pottery Barn, and that would be the Star Wars twin bed, which is a your basic twin bed, and the bed frame is made up to look like the Millennium Falcon cockpit, and not very detailed so much. It's very basic shaped. It's very basic paint job. Everything about it is very basic. It's not highly detailed, nor is the paint job anything to flip out over. Yet it carries a price tag of $4,000. And I don't see $4,000 there. Sorry. It doesn't strike me as a $4,000 piece.
Yeah, you have to imagine you're paying for a lot of the license, but even then, dear Lord.
Yeah, I mean, you can look it up and see what I'm talking about.
I think I
It
have
almost
seen
looks like
that,
one
and
of those.
it was decidedly unimpressive. I mean, that manufacturer will never sponsor this show, but I don't think they would have anyway. So
It's
I'm
almost
not.
like you get more. I think you get more craftsmanship out of those little tykes, little clubhouses that you would
I
still
think you get
have.
more craftsmanship out of that stuff they have, like for the kids at Home Depot. You can go in on Sunday morning
Oh, the little
and,
craft
yeah,
build.
the little easy build crafts for the kids.
Like a little Buzz Lightyear race or car or something like that. It depending on which weekend you go on.
Exactly.
I don't know where I got that from. It just popped in my head.
I know which weekend you went and got that.
Yeah,
Well, I'm going to do
I
something
know.
a little more commercially available
Okay.
for those who, you could spend a lot more to make this happen. You could probably spend a lot less to make this happen. You could spend a lot more to make it happen in a much more dynamic and articulated in an electronic way. But right this instant, for a mere $670.50 a month,
what?
On the payment plan.
Oh my gosh.
Or for a single payment of $7,450, Sideshow Toys has the life-size R2-D2 figure. It is a
what?
Full-size R2-D2 figure that features electronics and even a lovely display base. Because you don't want this like laying around on the floor.
Wow.
Where it could tip over like it was shot by a Jawa, I guess. But yes, the life-sized R2-D2.
Oh, I see it. Oh, wow. That's
oh,
actually kind of impressive.
It's a Millennium Falcon themed base. I didn't realize. Yeah, that's meant to be like floor panels of the Falcon. That's neat. But it has lights and sound. It's remote controlled lights and sound. And that would be, you know, were I in the that, if I had personally lost more than that running for the bus, that's where I would throw some money. In fact, Sideshow has done a number of life-size figures over the years.
Yeah.
And presently has six different choices in the life-size figural department, including Boba Fett at a mere $8,495.
Please tell me one of the characters available is Jax.
Oh, Jackson from I Wish.
Jackson, sorry. Jackson, the Green Rabbit.
No, but on the cheap end, you can get a life-size Yoda figure for a mere $24.99.
I like how you say mirror.
Well, that's when you compare the high end as Boba Fett at $84.95.
Yeah. Yeah, but you get a lot more with Boba Fett.
Yeah. It's true. You're paying a lot for that backpack and stuff.
Does the Yoda at least come with like an orange snake, an orange neon snake?
No, you gotta buy.
That's what I would pay
the,
good
on the cheap
for.
Toy aisle at Walmart. But one of the things that is neat is at the base that he's on, behind Yoda himself, sitting on a little rock, is a weird little caterpillar lizard creature.
Yeah.
That actually appears in a Macquarie Yoda image.
Oh, nice.
That Macquarie image of Yoda where he's kind of like either reflecting on the stars or praying for
yeah.
That he doesn't die in the sequel Strikes Back.
Yes, I know which one you're talking about.
I think that's a wonderful. I love when companies and artists and stuff throw in those little flourishes.
Yeah, yeah. That is a nice touch. Yeah, it's nice.
So there's where to throw your too much money if you've got that kind of dough.
Okay, my next one is one I would actually buy. I would actually, you know, take out a loan if I had to buy this, because I would use it probably on a daily basis. I would get my money's worth. I couldn't find the follow-up to this to see if this was still for sale, but a few years ago this came up for sale, and it's a 1979 Dodge Ram van that has the customs. Yeah, the custom Star Wars graphics painted all around it.
Oh, I thought maybe it was the graphics from those SST vans.
From the model kits?
No, the vans had the little ripcord. And they had the white one with Luke and Leia and the black
yes,
one with
yes.
Vader.
Yes. No, it's not that.
I'm surprised that wasn't like a Neiman Marcus, like, you know, his and hers van, custom Star Wars vans.
No, this it
complete
is a really
with a ripcord built into the top. It's like a giant ass ripcord.
Yeah, wow. No, this is actually pretty cool because it's got the image of, and it's got like a little spoiler at the top too. So it's got like all the cool line work that you remember seeing on those types of vans, but the line work is kind of reminiscent of like a lightsaber glowing, and there's an image of, you know, profile of Vader with like a reddish hue. You know, and it's got the Star Wars logo, and oh, off nice. The Star Wars logo is an X-Wing flying. It's really nice artwork, like really nice. The X-Wing flying off of it, and the silhouette of Obi-Wan and Vader and lightsaber duel in the front hood. There's a Rebel symbol. I mean, it's all around. It's such a cool looking vehicle. It only, and I'm being serious when I say this, it carried a price of only $9,000. So if that was a really well working van, if the van was in good shape and it ran well, that's a really good price, because I'm getting to the point where I might need to be shopping for a new vehicle. And if I'm going to get a new vehicle to drive around, I as sure as heck would be driving this sucker. Yeah. Yeah, so I was like, you know, 9,000 is not bad. Yeah.
I can see where you're coming from there. Well, that's...
Yeah, so I would actually...
That kind of rounds things out nicely, because, you know, you got all this extremely expensive, rare Star Wars loot and the vehicle to carry it all around in.
That's right. I would actually plunk down the money, or Ungar plunk down the money for this.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Is that, what was the price on, how many portions was that van worth?
9,000 portions.
That's right. I bet Ungar plunk would only give you about 6,000 portions for it.
Probably.
Well, the you know, in closing, I want to talk about high-end collectibles you would actually buy.
Mm-hmm.
I did see this at Bankston's Comics in Waco, Texas.
Yeah.
I remember seeing these on a sideshow talking about... no, this was Gentle Giant, rather. Giant made the, you know, giant vintage action figures. Vintage figures. They even went so far as to make a few characters that were like super giant Star Wars figures.
I remember those, like the life size.
Yes, and I have actually seen in the flesh the life size Boba Fett.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a beauty to behold, and I don't know have the guts to ask him how much they were wanted for it, but I would love to own.
They had it at their
Stormtrooper and a Boba Fett.
Yeah, they had the Boba Fett with them at the Heart of Texas Comic Con in Waco, in their booth. I remember seeing that too.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess because they were. That's neat, because they would have been just like right close to home there.
Yeah, I do remember seeing that. Yeah, I remember seeing that they had that for sale.
They
call Bankston,
it a
life
size
but like,
monument.
Oh. Yeah, that and the Stormtrooper.
Well, apparently Darth Vader has joined the fun this year at $2,600.
Nice. Does it come with a vinyl cape?
It does indeed. A giant vinyl cape.
That's cool. That is actually
pretty
cool.
Apparently a giant lightsaber that probably you push through the back of his giant arm.
Well, I think I've said this on this actual podcast probably way back at the start 3 years ago. But I remember seeing that Gentle Giant life-size Stormtrooper action figure, and it gave me the ideas, like, somebody needs to cosplay as a Star Wars Stormtrooper action figure from 78.
I have actually seen somewhere a picture of someone cosplaying as an action figure, and I can't remember if it was Boba Fett or a Stormtrooper.
I've seen people do the
Boba Fett with the armor and everything.
So. But if you were to cosplay that Stormtrooper, you wouldn't be able to turn your head, because if it was accurate,
true. You would be sort of locked in there.
Yeah. You'd be walking around like Robbie the Robot or something, you know.
So what I need to do is start saving up about $3,000 or so.
Uh huh.
Just on the off chance that Gentle Giant goes nuts and does the Monument Hammerhead.
Oh, could you? Oh, dude, if you do,
I would be all over. I would be like you with a bank loan.
We could get like a small group of us to all pitch in, and then we could share him. Like everyone gets him for one
joint custody.
Yeah, everyone gets him for 1 month out of the year.
Goodbye, Monument Hammerhead. I'll miss you, but I'll see you in late in the year. I'll see you in 6 months.
Could you imagine? I know you. You would probably end up selling off part of your collection just to get a hold of
that. I probably would. You know, just right down to the hammerheads.
Right. It's like, okay, I can get rid of all these.
Just my hammerhead room.
There goes all the multiple men figures. You know, sell those off.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
I actually recently was bidding on an auction that had a multiple man figure in a lot.
in the mix, yeah.
I was so disappointed because I really, I'm like, oh, I could get a 20-second multiple man.
Wow, 21 is the number right now.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it gotten that high. So
Yeah, it's frightening and sad all at once.
oh, not sad. I think it's pretty cool. I've been, you know, I've been there on the hunt with you at
Yes, indeed.
Walmart
You're
looking for.
instrumental in increasing the volume,
Yes, I told
having
you. I was
stumbled upon a rather sizable number of multiple man,
Yes, that
multiple
was.
multiple mans.
Yes.
Well, with that, we did run a little long, but we were having a blast. This
Yeah.
is going to also be a precursor for this coming Sunday. We're hosting the guys from Renerding here at the Jedi Cole Universe
Yeah.
for the Nerd Awakens, our special Renerding Star Wars, Renerding Ranker Pit crossover.
That's gonna be
But,
fun.
oh yes, indeed.
If
But
y'all haven't
2
checked out
weeks later,
Re-Nerding,
oh yes, duh,
if
yeah,
you haven't checked out
please.
Re-Nerding, you got to. Matt and Chris do an awesome job on Re-Nerding. It's a fun podcast to listen to. It fits
Absolutely
right in.
is.
Fits right in with the JCU. They have as much
Oh,
fun as
yeah,
their
when they were
show.
talking about that and the launch of it, I said, hey, do you want to bring that to my network? Because it is a perfect fit.
Yeah, it is.
And so we're having our kind of re-nerding episode with the Nerd Awakens. And 2 weeks later, we're going to have a we're getting all our high-end stuff out of our system today because we are going to have a new, this is our 2016 Christmas wish list edition, nothing over $100 edition.
Ah, darn it.
Yeah, I'm reining it in this year.
That would be December 4th
I
when
know
we
that
go.
wipes out about half what you'd planned already,
More than half, actually.
but
So yeah, that would be December 4th at noon central at watchonairlive.com. You can catch us live doing
that's
that
right,
show.
12 to 1 p.m. Central on the first and third Saturdays, first and third Sundays, sorry, of every month.
Yeah.
And we are very much looking forward to getting ready for Christmas. We're also, every episode has just been fun. We are now in our new studio, our fifth this year, which we'll talk
Yeah,
about that on the next show. It's amazing, fifth.
yeah.
And we'll be back here in 2 weeks, ideally on Sunday. We both kind of glossed over and ran a little late this time, but we just weren't going to let another week go by without getting some more Ranker action on in the pre-recorded form.
Yeah.
And so other than watchonairlive.com and the JediCoolUniverse.com, where can we find Eddie Medina?
You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Well, I would say Vine, but they're shutting Vine down, so you can't see me there anymore.
Lost
And
your awe.
yeah, and we will Colleen and I will be back with an all new episode of Figments, the Unexplained Mysteries podcast.
There you go.
We will be returning next week. We are scheduled to have a new episode November 23rd. So we will be back. We had to take a couple of weeks off after our big Oktoberfest. One episode each week. We kind of got burned out. But we're going to be back next week with Figments, and so we're excited about that. I'm not going to reveal what we're talking about, but it's going to be a good one. We're taking a break from the spooky since we did all spooky in October. We're going to start touching on a little bit of cryptid stuff here, a little bit of UFO stuff there, and so yeah, you won't want to miss Figments coming up.
You have to ask yourself,
Is it
are they
real?
real?
Oh,
No, you go right ahead, your
go.
show.
Is it real or is it a figment?
There you go.
Yes.
And again, we'll be back here in 2 weeks with more simple tricks and nonsense here at the Jedi Cole Universe on the Rancor Pit.
Thank you, Star Wars fiends.